No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot, I'm not a stranger. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. We are your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Now, I have been trying to learn to fly, but I've been kind of kicked to the curb here for the last few months because, you know, they've been so busy at Flight Training Professionals. Ed and Keith haven't really had time to train me. So, you know, I just don't rate
them
there.
Have you been studying?
I'm keeping my head in the game by flying through the efforts of, you know, commercial pilots.
Yeah, it doesn't count in the back seat in first class.
I'm a back seat flyer. Yeah, you get some credit for that, don't you?
No,
it's just mentally I am still in the game, even though I haven't been doing day-to-day operations. You know, I watch things, especially when I'm flying commercial now, and I apply them to, okay, how would I handle this scenario? Or I'm looking at the flight pattern. When we flew back from L.A. last night, I had this cry.
You didn't fly.
Well, me and the other passengers.
The pilot flew back from L.A. last night.
Yeah, well, you know, we were on a first-name basis.
He was in coach.
Captain Steve.
He wasn't even in first class. He was in coach, folks.
Well, it was Economy Plus.
Oh.
Yeah. And but anyway, it was a red-eye flight back from L.A. to Orlando.
Oh.
And we had really beautiful skies last night flying in, or actually this morning, I should say, into Orlando. And I was watching the flight pattern.
What time did you land?
It was like, I don't know, 5, 6 a.m.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
Why, were you getting ready to take off at that time?
No, I didn't fly till 9. I had a visit from our friends with the TSA today.
Oh, well, we're going to have to get into that here.
Oh, yes.
And find out what kind of, monitoring they're doing on Captain Ed and the Just Plane Radio crew. But we'll save that for later.
Okay.
Let's first talk about me. And
after all, it is all about you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got to do something to stay off the streets at night. So anyway, so we fly in beautiful conditions, no wind. And matter of fact, he even said that on the intercom that it should be a smooth flight in. But he said the first or the co-pilot, or what would it be? First mate?
First officer.
First officer, right.
Wrong show, Greg. First officer.
First, exactly. First officer at the beginning of flight said was going to be doing the flight this evening. And so I'm thinking they were doing some training with this first officer. Is that how they do it?
No.
They never do it like that.
It's normally every other leg they switch back and forth. And it really depends on the airline's operation. But for the most part, if it was a regional airline, the captain would have the leg out to the outstation and the first officer would have the leg back to the home base.
Okay.
But yes, in general, they more than likely switch off every leg.
Interesting. Okay, so the first officer doesn't necessarily have less experience than the first than the pilot.
Well, yeah.
Okay, well that's what I'm saying.
He does have less experience, and he gets paid quite a bit less.
Well, okay, so that's my point. When he said he was going to fly this evening, I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be a little training flight for the first officer, and I don't know how I feel about this. And I quickly nodded off to sleep. It was
it really bothered you.
It didn't bother me enough to keep me from falling asleep, which is a good thing. You know, that's why I take these red-eye flights from the left coast back home. But anyway, so we're coming in for landing, perfect conditions, clear skies. I even see Orlando Executive, and I'm like, ooh, there's our flight pad. There's the lights for the beacon by Orlando Executive. That's where I would go. And I'm thinking in my, you know, how would I approach the flight pattern? And then I'm thinking, wait a minute, we're flying right over me. What the hell? And I'm thinking, okay, we had to at least be over 3,000 feet or at 3,000 feet, right?
Usually 2,500.
Okay.
It depends.
We seem lower than I thought we would, considering, yeah. I'm like, well,
3,000, but sometimes as low as 2,500. That's why they keep us 1,500 and below.
Okay. All right. Well, it just seemed lower, maybe because I was in a bigger plane. And I'm thinking, if I'm doing the flight pattern,
what
I see this
jet. What airplane were you in?
It was a 757.
Yeah. Okay. That's not a big plane.
Well, it's bigger than what I'm used to flying or piloting.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
If one of those things flew right over my Cessna 172, I think I'd be spooked.
You'd be. Let's talk wake turbulence then, Greg.
Okay,
we'll turn it into a quiz.
Well, we'll get that. Okay, no quizzes yet. I'm not ready for that. Let's finish my story. Okay, so we're coming in, and I'm thinking, all right, well, that's a little low, but I'm following my flight pattern in my mind, so that's why I'm saying my head's in the game. But we come into the approach. He makes the final turn to the runway at Orlando International, and we come in. It looks like it's going to be a fine landing, no problems, and he came in a little hard. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's that inexperience for you, baby. And I'm just listening in my head, like, what would happen if it was me, and I'd be hearing Ed go, okay, you did this, you did that, da-da-da-da-da, and, like, the pilot is, like, yelling at him.
I don't yell.
No, you don't. You don't. You just, okay, maybe it's, you don't yell, but you have that look that you're yelling, and it's like telepathy. You hear what I'm saying?
No, it's not like that.
I'm guessing
that's your perception, maybe.
Well, okay, yeah, you're right. It's my perception, but
I'm
guessing.
When I put my face in my hands, it's just to cover my eyes
exactly.
Because I don't like the light. It has nothing to do with your skill level whatsoever.
Well, I'm wondering if the pilot in command was tempted to, like, you know, at the last minute, reach over to the thruster and give it a little gas.
Say, I have the flight controls?
Yeah. You know, maybe I'm you know, tying that to personal experience too much. Is that what you're thinking?
I think so.
Yeah, it could be. But that's what was going through my mind when we came in a little hard. It wasn't awful. It wasn't bad, but it seemed like we dropped a little harder than I think they would have preferred. You think?
I don't know. I wasn't on the airplane.
Right. Well, I mean, I've flown enough to know that was a bit of a hard landing.
What, did they open the door when they were done?
What do you mean?
Well, to the, if it was a bad landing, they don't open the door to the cockpit. They just, you know, let
is
everybody
that a
get
signal?
Off the airplane.
Is that a signal? Like the pilot's getting lectured or something? Because, you know, now I think about it, it wasn't open, I don't think. is that really? Is that a key?
It's not a procedure, but would you open the door if you just made a bad landing?
Good point.
Watch all those people get off the airplane and say, goodbye, folks.
Yeah.
Thanks for flying with us.
You know, the first officer wasn't there going, bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. So maybe you might be onto something there. I don't know. But anyway, I mean, I'm not knocking the guy. I mean, if he might have been a little bit inexperienced. And it wasn't like awful. It was just not the smoothest landing I would have expected in those kind of crystal clear, calm conditions. You know, I know that if it was me at the flight controls, we would have greased that baby.
It's going to get deep now.
Yeah, well, it's been deep a long time ago. We start up in a good 5 foot of goo,
bovine scatology
dirty mess. Yeah. Anyway, so that's my fly-in story. I mean, and I guess so. You're saying though that could be a little bit of training, but it may not be. They just alternate.
Yeah, it's
more
routine.
They alternate more for rest and that kind of thing. Maybe
or? No. It is for the first officer to get the experience,
right?
Because he becomes, for that leg, the flying pilot, and the captain's the non-flying pilot, and they change. They basically switch duties.
Yeah,
and
but is it a situation where when he is flying the plane, and if the pilot sees something,
let's think about our pilot command briefing.
Mm-hmm.
You say you're the flying pilot, but I'm the pilot in command.
Right.
If I want the flight controls, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
This briefing would go very similar.
Okay.
The captain, the first officer would be given the briefing that he was the flying pilot, the captain's pilot in command. And if the captain wants the flight controls, he should say, I have the flight controls. He would take his hands and feet off the controls and say, you have the flight controls. I mean, those procedures that we take are from airline procedures.
Okay.
The stuff that you're doing in the 172 is really based on what happens in a lot of airline cockpits. And it is becoming an industry standard even in the small airplanes to do stuff like that.
Okay.
And so the switching back and forth is a normal procedure because they want the first officer to be experienced enough to do things what they need to do. And in essence, every captain is an instructor teaching the first officer to be captain someday.
Right. Right. So it would be the same type of scenario if we were coming in for landing and you saw I was coming in a little bit too fast, that you might jump in there and goose it at the last second if you think it's necessary to salvage the airplane if you see a potential problem.
To avoid having to salvage the
airplane. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, one of those. Yeah. Which never has happened that I can recall. And if it has, I've totally blocked it out by now.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think you have blocked it out.
Enough time has passed.
I think you've blacked it out completely.
But yeah, it's interesting to think that. And that's why I say my head's still in the game. And I think that counts for something. You know, at least when you're mentally thinking about flying, even if you're not flying, that can't hurt the situation. You know,
no,
your,
it can't hurt the situation at all.
Your training and you
how much
know.
Sim time have you been putting in?
I haven't. Yeah, I've been in a real plane. I don't need to do sim time. I'm in a real airplane, Ed. This counts for even better a real world experience.
Getting deep.
I think it's up to 6 feet already.
I think so.
Yeah. We're going to be buried in this stuff. 6 feet under. Definitely by the end of the show if we aren't already. But hey, that's just how we roll. Or that's how we fly. And we're going to continue to do so after the break. Stay close to Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Deep Water Cay in the Bahamas has been a hotspot for world-class anglers and Hollywood stars for over 50 years. They fly into Freeport or take advantage of the 4,000-foot private runway. So in as little as 20 minutes from Florida, you too could be experiencing world-class fishing, diving, paddleboarding, whatever your adventurous heart desires, Deep Water Cay delivers. So treat yourself like the star that you are at Deep Water Cay's private island resort in the Bahamas. Go to deepwaterkay.com. That's deepwaterkay.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
A buzzard took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on a square. Tried to throw the monkey off his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top."
Now that may be what the pilot in command was singing to the first mate after that flight when he came in aboard. Maybe he didn't yell at him. He sang to him to be a little bit more, I don't know, diplomatic in his
tutelage. Do you want me to sing to you in the airplane?
Hey, you know what? I would pay money for that, Ed.
I think your nice Lightspeed headsets might break with my voice.
Well, that is. There's always that, but just for the experience, that would be something unique, and we would share that with everybody on board today.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, let's keep that in mind. Next time you want to yell at me, just sing.
Just sing.
Yeah. Just sing.
Or scream?
No, sing. Okay. You don't scream like it's a heavy metal
tune
or something.
Even if I feel like screaming?
Think big band. Think Sinatra, that type of thing. Yeah, that would work. Why not?
Uh-huh.
It might help your blood pressure, too. Who knows? Might hey, if you sing it, you won't be as... It might be a way to release that anger in a much more positive way.
I don't know. I think hitting you would work better.
Yeah, for you, maybe. All right, anyway...
We digress.
Yeah. Now, so we had a bit of a hard landing from this commercial flight I took from L.A. to Orlando. But as I said, my head's in the game of training, even though I'm not doing some active training at the moment. I haven't putting in the hours on the sim and that kind of thing. It's still, I'm thinking about it, especially when I'm flying commercially like this across the country. It just kind of keeps my head in the game. And I think, ideally it'll... it helps me to maintain what I've learned, or maybe brings down the level of stuff that I keep forgetting. That's my hope. Maybe that's just wishful thinking. We'll have to wait and see. But the other thing went through my mind yesterday is this flight from Orlando and L.A. I make this trek at least a couple times a year because of the dive trips I do out in the Pacific and things like that. And that's usually about a 4.5-5 hour trip. And I started thinking... I have my mind, made up about what type of plane I would like, being we're based out of Orlando and I would like to fly out to the Caribbean, down to the Keys and that kind of thing. But when I'm doing that trek, I'm starting to think, okay, wait, this single piston plane, whether it's a Zodiac or a Cessna Grand Caravan, which is the two planes I've kind of zeroed in on, I'm wondering if they just won't be fast enough. Because that'll be way too long of a trip to get all the way out to the left coast. Yeah. And then I thought, now wait a minute. Maybe I need to think more about speed, or at least revisit this one more time.
Okay.
Because it would have to be a jet in this case, right? To even make it palatable, you think? Or you'd have to break it up in 4 or 5 legs and it would take 12 hours
jets,
minimum.
You got to make it in 2 legs if you get some of the small biz jets.
Yeah.
You get a Citation Mustang, it might be 3 legs. Going westbound, going eastbound, you could probably make it in with 1 fuel stop because the prevailing winds.
Okay. So going out west, we're going to have prevailing winds that are going to work against us.
Yeah.
So we need a more powerful plane to get out there faster. So these business jets.
If you want to go nonstop from Orlando to the left coast, as you're saying, you're looking at a Citation 10, a Sovereign, a Gulfstream. You're talking midsize jet to maybe even heavy jet to make that in a nonstop environment.
And they will top out.
By the way, the G650 is like a $65 million airplane without interior.
Really?
So that's just giving you an idea of what.
Are
you
kidding me? Seriously, yeah. It's that much? Yeah. I thought so. One of these business jets or one of these Cirrus jets won't go that fast. They'll top out at like 350 or something. Is that it?
What speed?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They'll. I don't know the specs on the Cirrus jet.
But they don't get up there to what the commercial airliners are doing, like 600-700 knots an hour.
Well, they're doing, the commercial jets are doing, Mach 0.87 or something like that. So they're
no,
around
wait.
500. They're not doing 600 or 700.
Okay.
600 or 700 is virtually supersonic. 740 is the speed of sound.
All right. So I only got to get up to 700 or 500.
Now, they are working on a supersonic biz jet, and it will go for about 100 million.
Okay, anything less than the...
Oh, and by the way, you couldn't use that transcontinental. You could only use that transoceanic going supersonic.
Why is that? Because of the sound problem?
Yeah, they don't want the sonic boom.
Yeah. Well, I don't need to go that fast. I just want to go as fast as the commercial airliners. So to do that, I would still have to get, one of these G4s or whatever. I don't know. What? They don't go that fast?
Oh, yeah, they go that fast.
Okay, but those are $65 million planes?
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking something more economical, like in the $10 million range.
The Citation 10 is the fastest biz jet in the world.
And that is how much?
So I think you can probably pick it up from 25, 30 mil.
Okay, 25, 30 mil on sale. Let's say we can get it for $19.95.
You can get used ones.
You can get, sure.
Yeah.
Get a used one.
One of my customers' company just picked one up.
Yeah.
Based it out of Orlando, and that why? Because they want to go to the West Coast all the time.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and that's what's happening with me. Or I'm starting to think that maybe would that be another option? But then I thought, wait a minute, I can't even keep up with my 172. That's maybe topping out at 120.
Not even that.
Yeah, not even that. And I have to think what 4 times as fast in a jet that's going 4 times as fast. That's not going to work. Those numbers don't work for me.
Oh, don't I know that?
Well, how is that? I mean, because you're going so fast, do you just kind of have a different, longer approaches and things like that? And it all kind of, you know, works the same as we would be
when
training?
When you come into the terminal area, below 10,000 feet, you got to slow it down to 250. That's okay. The speed limit.
Okay.
So pretty much everything out there except the 747 is below 250. It can't get below 250, and it's got a special waiver to go above 250.
Okay.
Or was it 200? Because once you get into the terminal area, you got to drop it down to 200. Maybe it can't get
below. All right, so only got to think twice as fast.
Well, no, these airplanes, when they're coming down final, are doing 130.
Really? So they're not really.
Maybe
I don't even
140.
So I don't have to think that fast, is what you're saying.
No, you slow down before you come into
landing. You slow down at least to a speed, and well, your flight pattern is going to be bigger than it would be in our 172.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so that's why I'm saying when you adjust for the spatial separation and for the speed in that sense, it would be the same. It wouldn't feel any different, you think?
Oh, it's completely different.
It would feel totally different?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's still faster than what you're capable of thinking.
So I have to get the 172 stuff down first before I could even think of this.
You've got to crawl before you can walk.
Do you have
walk
to do
before
this?
You can run.
Could you become a jet pilot like this right out of the box and skip single engine flying or no?
Oh, look at the military. What do they start training in?
Similar planes than like what I'm flying.
In the Air Force, it's a Cessna 172.
Well, there you go. Okay, I guess you answered that question. So it's baby steps or baby flights, I guess. All right, more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings. Can't see.
All right, well, I'll just stick to flying a 172 for now. That's what my flight instructor, Ed, says I got to do before I could even consider taking on the responsibilities of flying a jet. So I'll leave that one alone. That's kind of what I figured. It's way out of my range, but it's fun to think that. You know, you can always dream.
Well, no. If you've got the $10 million or $20 million to buy one. Keith and I'll fly it for you.
Ooh, that's an idea. So just buy a plane, have someone else fly it.
Just write the check, Greg.
They could take credit cards, right? Yeah. All right. Well,
I don't think your Amex has that high of a limit.
I don't even have one of those. It's like Fred's credit. Well, yeah. But anyway.
You want to buy an airplane at one of those places that, you know, we finance?
Yeah.
I saw it out there in Vegas. They low jack the airplane if you don't make your payment. They shut the engines off mid-flight.
There were all these repos out in Vegas when I was out there where I was thinking, oh, you know, it's someone who like went past their gambling limit. And had to give the plane back. They had it for a week and lost it, you know, the week later.
Hmm.
You get a good deal out there, I bet. But, you know, I was out there and it was hotter than hell. I mean, I don't know how people function out there in the desert because that's what I did. I went out to L.A. and then I went over to Vegas for a couple of days for a meeting. And it was like 110 degrees in the Mojave Desert there. But I saw some airports out there and I'm thinking, okay, we got to talk a little bit more about not just altitude. We're at 4,000 feet there, so we weren't at sea level like we were here. So we have that issue of altitude, but you also have the issue of heat, and being that it would be so hot, you need a longer runway, right?
Right. They call that what?
Dew point. No. When am I? Well, I'm having.
Hey, you started off right. It did. Does start with a D.
Yeah, it's density altitude.
Bingo!
Yes,
see?
Yes, thank you!
See? Something stuck, yes!
Yeah, there you go. Density altitude. We need to revisit that. Because I understand the theory, but actually seeing it when it's so hot, I'm thinking, oh my God, how can a plane even fly in this mess?
Well, temperature is much more an issue than altitude or pressure is.
All right, well, I want to get to the bottom of it just in case I get into this scenario and I need to fly into Vegas or more than likely get the hell out of there quickly. You hear what I'm saying? This guy was going to break my legs if I didn't get the hell out of there in time, so.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up. You want to hit back? We're going to have to wingsuit in. It's the only way to get close. I can't promise anyone a ride home, but if you're with me, the world needs you now.
Then I can fly.
So temperature is more important than altitude when
well,
it comes to...
Not necessarily more important than altitude, but more important than pressure.
Than pressure.
So to talk about density altitude, we first got to talk about pressure altitude. Pressure altitude is indicated altitude, which is the altitude that your altimeter is reading.
Right.
Corrected for non-standard pressure. Now, the standard pressure is 29.92 inches of mercury.
Mm-hmm.
So... whether we're above that or below that, it will affect the aircraft's performance. If the air if the pressure is higher, the air is more dense, and actually will improve performance. If the air pressure is lower, it will actually decrease the aircraft's performance. But usually, you're not looking at more than 200 or maybe even 300 foot difference in performance altitude for the airplane with when it comes to pressure altitude. Because if you think about here in Florida, I think today it was like 30.02.
Mm-hmm.
Standard's 29.92. So
right.
It was only like 0.1 off,
mm-hmm.
which is equal to 1 inch equals 1,000 feet. So that was really only about 100 feet off on pressure altitude versus our indicated altitude.
Right.
But the temperature today probably was up in around 32 centigrade. So our density altitude today, just sitting on the ramp at Orlando Executive, which is 113 feet above sea level, it would have been probably about 1,800, maybe even 2,200 foot is basically the density altitude for the day. So the temperature had much more effect on aircraft performance than the actual difference in pressure.
Got it. Okay, so when it's hotter, it's going to perform less or won't perform as well.
So now you put it out there where you got
altitude
field elevation of 4,000 feet.
Right.
So you're already starting off at a deficit that the airplane already is performing less because it's already starting at 4,000 feet above sea level.
Mm-hmm.
Then you add the temperature of 110 Fahrenheit, which is over 40 centigrade, you're going to be significantly affecting it. And I'm going to pull out my handy sporty Z6B.
So basically,
calculate that.
Flying in hell is much worse than flying in heaven.
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go. Just that's just one way to look at it.
Yes, that's that.
You don't see many planes in hell.
No.
So and that's
quite a few pilots.
Yeah. I felt like I was driving through it, though. I mean, that run between L.A. and Vegas, it was hot, man. Just even in the car with the AC blasting. I mean, it's death right there, Death Valley. You drive through Death Valley, it's insane.
Yeah.
But I saw these little private, well, they weren't even private, but they were small little airports right along the main road there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some, wind. I think there's fairly consistent wind through the area.
Yeah.
So if you have that working to your advantage, if it's blowing down the runway, I guess that would help some too, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Anytime you have a difference in the wind, it will definitely help you out there.
Yeah. Even if it feels like someone's blowing a hairdryer on you, that can help you a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. But it will shorten the takeoff roll.
Right.
And the landing. Okay, so 110 is about 43 degrees centigrade. So then we're going to go in and we're going to go calculate our pressure altitude, density altitude for
you're on the E6B?
Yeah, I'm on the Sporty Z6B, which is real handy to have. I mean, it's on my phone, it's on my iPad. You know, you can put it on either place. So I'm just going to leave the pressure of what we had here at Executive today, 30.02. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to put the temperature to 43 centigrade and a field elevation of 4,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
My pressure altitude is actually 3,900 feet.
Yeah.
So but my density altitude is 7,815 feet. So it's like being at 8,000 feet on takeoff roll.
Yeah.
Significantly increasing the distance required to get airborne. And mm-hmm. then, once you're airborne, to climb. Now, what solves all this, or what is the best thing to do, and a lot of people that fly out in the West, they have turbocharged airplanes.
That's what'll do it.
Yeah. And the turbocharger takes and compresses the air before it goes into the engine, so it is getting more air molecules into the cylinder, thus mixing with the fuel and being more efficiently in the burning. So we're actually producing sea level performance in most cases with the turbocharged airplane up to 17,000-18,000 feet.
Hmm.
I know the Turbo 206 that I fly is, I think we can do... I think it does sea level pressure up to 17,000 feet, and then after that, the performance does start dropping off. But we can servicing almost like 27,000 feet.
Okay, so that's what Captain Clay has, right? His Saratoga is turbocharged, right?
I don't know. I didn't get a chance to see it when he was in town.
I think it is, because I asked him that because he was out there in California. He flew it out there.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, and I asked him about, you know, hey, you coming out from Wyoming, is there an issue, you know, flying through Vegas and all this dry air and all this kind of stuff. It's turbocharged. What do I care? And so that's what he meant.
And it would make sense with living in Wyoming as well, because they have some pretty high elevations.
So that having it turbocharged like that kind of offsets that density problem.
To a certain degree.
To a certain degree.
To a certain degree.
Or it helps tremendously.
Yes. Significantly.
So
if I was flying out in that area, that's what I would want.
Yeah. Just to have that extra... You know, extra juice when you need it.
You know, to be able to maintain a normal climb, uh-huh. You know, even in that. So if I'm taking off at that 8,000 feet and I still get in sea level performance, I'm still going to be getting in say, a 206, I'm still going to be getting almost 1,000 foot a minute climb. And that's
really all it's going to affect then, right? It's not going to affect cruising and that so
well,
as much.
It will, because you can get up to altitude, and the higher you go in the altitude, the less dense the air is, again,
mm-hmm.
actually makes your true airspeed go up. And ground speed is basically your true airspeed, either plus a head minus a headwind or plus a tailwind.
Right.
So if your true airspeed's higher, your ground speed's higher, and you go faster. That's one of the reasons why the jets, even for short trips, they're going up at 30 and 40,000 feet.
Yeah.
Is because the air is less dense up there.
They get up to the fast air.
Well, and they are much more fuel efficient up there. If you try to fly a jet airplane down around 16,000 feet, it is going to suck the fuel down, and it's not going to be economical to run.
Right. But, you know, here in Florida... And in the Caribbean or some of the islands in the Bahamas, a 4,000-foot runway is a really nice long runway for what we use generally for small aircraft.
Yeah.
Out there, it's going to be what? Double that at least?
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of 8,000, 6,000, 7,000.
But the 4,000 runway wouldn't even exist out there, or would they have?
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
There are probably plenty of them out there too.
Yeah, but most of them would be longer because of the density altitude issues.
Yeah, well, if you think about this, the 172, we calculate your takeoff distance is around 1,500 foot in mm-hmm. sea level.
Right.
It's still going to, a 4,000 foot runway out there will still work for it.
Right.
The climb rate after it, you better not have a lot of obstacles on the other end of it, no matter what.
Yeah.
But, a 4,000 foot would still be enough for a 172 out there.
Right.
It'll just use most of it, whereas here, we barely use any of it. We maybe use half of it.
Yeah, but you get out there, Colorado, I mean, it's the minimum usually is, what, 6 or 7, I'm guessing.
No, you'll see a lot of small airports.
You will see
4 or 5.
All right, so it just depends on the place.
Yeah.
All right, well, I just something to think about. Either I need to stay here and forget about it, or get a turbo-charged airplane, is what you're saying.
Write the check, Greg, write the check.
It's all about the money. And all you got to do is go out there and put it all on black. That's how it works in Vegas. It didn't really work that well this time, though. So that's why I had to fly back commercial.
Ah.
You know? But what are you going to do?
So you lost the airplane money, Greg.
Yeah, well, there's
it's
always
better
next
than
time.
The college fund.
Well, that went like a couple years ago. That was the first thing up on the auction block there. But no, it was it's interesting. It'd be a fun trip, and we got to get Clay on because he did. He flew his new plane out there, and he seems to be enjoying it thoroughly.
Cool.
His new Piper Saratoga. You know, the other thing Clay mentioned on his flight there from Wyoming out to L.A. was these solar arrays. He actually showed me a picture.
Oh, yeah.
On his iPhone. He goes, Greg, check this out. And he goes, what do you think that is? And it was like three white beams of light coming up from the desert. And he said this was just outside of Vegas. And I said, I don't know. What is that, Roswell? What the hell is that? Are signals to the alien beings out there in space? He goes, yeah, no, it's a solar array farm or solar farm. Have you heard about it? But he said, you know, all these arrays point to this middle reflector, and it's just a bright white light. He said this thing, you could see it from miles away, and it doesn't look human. I mean, it freaked him out. And he said, but there's a beam of light shooting up out of the desert, and this is broad daylight, too.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of freaky. But then he finally found it on his charts to figure out what the hell it was. Until he got up closer to it, he didn't know what the hell it was. He thought he was going to be probed by aliens or something.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Never feel sorry for a man who owns a plane.
So here I stand, and then again I say, I'm hoping we can make some wishes out of airplanes.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars?
Hey,
I can really use a wish right now.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. All right, so a lot of stuff been going on, at least in my world, but why not talk about other things? You know, we got a little bit of time left. ForeFlight, our friends at ForeFlight, have put out a new update. I believe it's, what, 6.1 now?
Yeah.
They're up to?
Yeah.
And have some new features. They're always putting up. But, I mean, it's just amazing, the stuff that keeps coming out with this thing. And the main feature, I guess, that I've noticed, and maybe you have more information on this, Ed, is this suitcase thing. And that basically allows you to, or I don't know, it's more intuitive where if you're planning a flight, say if you're flying from Orlando to L.A., and you planned your did your flight plan, and maybe you got a deviation or something, or didn't load up your iPad with all the maps, you won't get that blank space because it'll like put in extra map detail.
Once you plan your flight, it's going to go check your database on the iPad and see what charts you need for it.
Yeah,
it's not going to upload them. Okay, it's going to put the suitcase image up there, and it's going to put the update red circle of death,
right?
With the number of updates needed, so that it reminds you to then go
pack
to the
your charts.
Yeah, to then press the button and start the download.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not error proof, but it is. For example, I keep on mine everything for the Southeast. I'm basically right. Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia. I think it said Georgia already, but Louisiana and Mississippi, all that stuff. But if I was going to say go pick up an airplane up in Wichita, so I'm in the hotel the night before planning my flight, and all of a sudden it bring that up, it'd give me the little briefcase thing with the red. Because I don't have all the charts.
Hey, pack your charts.
And so then I could, while still connected to Wi-Fi, I could download charts so I know I have everything for it.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the problem. When you get out there and you don't have Wi-Fi.
Exactly. You can't download them once you're out there. Even with Stratus, you can't grab your charts over Stratus. Mm-hmm. That has to be done from a Wi-Fi connection, a high-speed internet connection, preferably. You don't want to download charts on your cell phone data by any means.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Right.
But, and huge new function. There's some other things that came out that I don't think we've talked about either when they came out with 6. I didn't want to move to iOS 7.
Right.
Because I heard of problems after problems after problems. So, literally, I had not moved to iOS 7 until about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to know why? Because I wanted the version 6, not 6.1, but version 6 of 4Flight when it came out. That's what really forced me into iOS 7 because I had to have it.
Right. You had to have it. You want new features.
Because I wanted the new features. Yeah. And one of the huge new features, and like I said, I don't know if we talked about this, but for the VFR pilot, you plan your flight in 4Flight, and you can file your you've always been able to file your flight plan in 4Flight. Well, if you have a cellular connection to either your iPhone with 4Flight on it or your iPad with 4Flight on it, you can open and close your flight plan directly from the iPad in the cockpit before takeoff and after landing.
Nice. You don't have to call the guy up anymore.
Yeah, and we've been having lots of problems getting through to flight service over the radio lately.
Yeah.
So this is, and I'm a big proponent of using technology in a way that makes it safer for us. You've done flight following. You've and a lot of people are like, well, I'll either do flight following or I'll open my flight plan. I won't do both because it's too much work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're on flight following with air traffic control and you fail to check in or you they just assume you switch frequencies. They don't go searching for you.
Right.
That they'll make a couple attempts to call you after that. Yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think people are having a false sense of security, thinking with they're safer with flight following than with a opened flight plan. And it's been a pain in the butt to go ahead and open your flight plan and close your flight plan. This is making it super simple, super easy. Lockheed Martin actually is doing it also from their website as well. If you file your flight plan through the Lockheed Martin site, it'll send you an email that allows you to open it on any cell phone through any email attachment you have on your cell phone.
Hmm.
And you can, and then once you open it, it'll send you another email with a link to close it.
Right.
When you get to your destination.
And it will remind you, which is more of what I need.
Yeah. Well, and it's going to have the little button there for you to press. And that's what I liked. I said, well, as soon as Lockheed Martin did, I said, God, I hope 4Flight does. And sure enough, that next one came out. Yeah. They've got a bunch of other new stuff in there that we now have the, in 6, we now have the split screen function. So if you have the AHARS portion, which is in the Stratus 2,
right,
you can now, instead of before you had to have, say, the AHARS, your flight display on your phone,
mm-hmm.
Well, now you've got a split screen that you can have your flight display on one side of your iPad and your maps on the other side of the iPad.
And landscape. It would have to be landscape.
In landscape mode.
Yeah.
And, actually, it'll do in portrait mode, too.
Would it?
Yeah.
That'd look weird, wouldn't it?
It'd look a little weird, but yeah. And so that if you have Stratus 2, you can do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like your own.
Yeah. It's turned into a real glass panel.
Virtually.
Yeah. And it just keeps getting better and better. And just go to foreflight.com. You can hook it up. But yeah, the packet or the package thing, or suitcase, I guess.
Suitcase.
Yeah. That's a cool thing, especially if you're having any issues with space.
Yeah.
On your phone or iPad, that kind of eliminates that issue. Yeah. But yeah, the dual screen thing, I love that. You're right. We haven't talked about that.
Yeah. Another thing that they came up with in this latest version that added the suitcase is they've improved their syncing function through Dropbox. So like with us at the flight school, we have a lot of documents, our operations manuals, our maneuvers manuals, our checklists, and we're able to update that to our instructors' iPads by just keeping our Dropbox current, and they're linked up to the Dropbox. So I make a change to a checklist. Next time they're in Wi-Fi connection, it's on their iPad in their for flight document section.
Or those little notices like, hey, don't let Greg near the plane. His timeout from the plane hasn't expired yet. Is that what you're trying to? Okay, yeah. Fair enough. And we'll leave it at that. Till next week, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.